All right, welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Friday, December 6th. Tomorrow is obviously championship weekend, but before we talk about that, we are going to talk about the games that happened last weekend that some of them impacted championship weekend. So the first one we'll talk about was a game that had major implications on the Big Ten, was the Wisconsin-Minnesota game. Wisconsin obviously pulling out the win by 21. Now, John, you watch any of that game? What'd you see?
All right, so I was in the hospital with my aunt. You know about that. But the game was on. And trust me, that game was not getting away from me. You know, they were the last team I needed in my parlay. I needed Minnesota to get the upset. Minnesota was up early. You know, I was freaking out. You know, the doctor walked in and he was like, "Oh, you're a Minnesota fan?" And I was like, "I am today, doc." And things were looking good. They scored early. I think they were up 10-0. Or I know they're up 7-0. Not sure about 10. But then it started snowing, and I was like, this is so ideal. Turns out wasn't ideal at all because Wisconsin, I think, scored every point from that point on.
Yeah, the one thing that actually stands out to me is Jonathan Taylor got held to under 100 yards. I mean, he only had 76 yards. Mm-hmm. So I said from the beginning I thought they would run all over them. Jack Cohn threw for 280. He actually threw pretty well, and that's one of the things I felt that's held not only him but held Wisconsin back is, you know, being so one-dimensional because he struggles throwing the ball opening the field.
I've got a quick question about that. Do you think he struggles throwing the ball, or do you think they just don't throw the ball enough to where he never gets in rhythm?
No, I think that's a huge part of it.
No, I'm asking you, what's your opinion on that? Do you think he's just bad at throwing it, or do you think they just never let him get in rhythm, so it's hard to ask him to throw, go from handing it off a bunch of times, and then, all right, it's 3rd and 17, please make a play?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely it. He doesn't really have to throw the ball frequently, so then when he gets thrown into, hey, Jack, we need a bunch of yards from you here, it's very, he's not in a rhythm, like you said.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so the other game that had some implications, not only on a conference, but it actually didn't have much in a conference, but it had on the playoffs, was Alabama, because if Alabama pulls off that win, they're still an outside shot that they get into the playoffs. Uh-huh. So, obviously, I'm going to assume you watched that game.
I did, but I'm going to be honest, I watched more of the Minnesota-Wisconsin game.
What just because game was that?
The Auburn?
Yeah, that was crazy game. I did not expect
it. That was crazy.
I didn't expect it to be as high scoring as it was. I will say that.
One thing I still can't believe about that game is I can't believe that Jaylen Waddle is a number 4 receiver on a team. It blows my mind. Think that Alabama team in a few years, Jerry Jeudy, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, they're going to be NFL stars, probably all 4 of them, which is going to be insane. Because people now talk about Odell and Jarvis being college teammates, but there's 3 of them.
It's actually pretty funny that you brought that up because I saw a thing today. Let me read it real quick. You want to talk about how bad Alabama's injury luck has been? Mocks have Tua, Diggs, Ruggs, Jeudy, Lewis, Smith, Willis, and Moses all in the first round, and in 3 years they have never played in the same game together.
That's crazy.
So that's just pretty.
My bad.
No, I really didn't know where I was going, so you take over.
So, in the beginning of the year, when Dylan Moses got hurt, I believe he got hurt in practice preseason, I think in the camp, and they said he was out for the season, I said this is probably the biggest loss Alabama could have. I think I was right, because he was, losing a middle linebacker, he makes all the calls on the defense, and sure, by the end of the season, whoever filled in probably was okay in the position. But Moses is one of the top linebackers in college football, and it really showed that when Alabama, they couldn't stop the run. They weren't as dominant as they normally are, and I think it's because they didn't have Dylan Moses.
Yeah, even if you look at, offensively, obviously they were fine without Tua. Mac Jones played phenomenal. I think a lot of people are going to blame that game on him, which I don't think is fair. I think he threw for 330. Let me double-check it. 335, 4 touchdowns. He was fine. I think at the end of the game, Gus just kind of caught Saban a little off guard and outcoached him in the last 10 seconds or last minute, whatever it was, with the way he lined up his offense on the 4th and 4.
Yeah, that was great coaching. To be honest, I wasn't really sure what they were trying to do. Like, just looking back at it, I'm not sure if the intention was to ever run a play out of that. But if there was a play to run out of that, I really would like to see what it was.
No, I think the intention on that play was to end up punting if they couldn't. Because what they didn't have Waddle on the field. Alabama didn't have Waddle on the field. So they had no one deep to return a punt. So I think Gus knew that.
Oh, okay, so it was like just kick it to like the 10, hope it rolls back, go down at the 1.
Yeah, or you know, just kick it deep in their own territory.
So what, like the punter would have had a motion and then punt?
Or Bo Nix, because they weren't in like, they weren't deep in their own territory. Enough
yeah,
to,
you,
like,
you trust Bo Nix punting?
I mean, Gus is a crazy guy. I mean,
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I've tried to punt before. I wanted to be a punter at one point. It's not easy.
It's not easy. He did say there was at one point he was going to send the punter back to punt, but I'm not sure how that motion would have been legal.
So the it says right here that was the plan. Supposed was to line up at receiver, and if Alabama didn't put anyone back there, they were going to shift him in motion, and he was going to take the snap and punt the ball on the run. It was a bit of a variation. Apparently, earlier in the play, Bo Nix punted on the first drive.
I probably missed that. I was flipping between games.
It says right here he did, and that was the same thing. Sipos motioned to the backfield on that play as well. The punter.
I mean, I thought if they were going to punt it, I figured you just give it to Nix and just tell him, listen, dude, just don't try to go crazy. Just literally make contact.
That's what they did earlier in the game. It set it up. So they weren't, because they knew Bo Nix was going to punt again, they thought it was going to be a bad punt. They wouldn't send Waddle out there.
Yeah, and then they got screwed.
But the second time, they were going to let the punter actually punt, so it would have got screwed.
Yeah. So for playoff or conference implications, I think that about does it now that I'm just looking over games real quick. Baylor won big, 61-6 against Kansas. Rutgers played Penn State decently tight for three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that really...
Wait. Was there a...
Oh, the Virginia...
Real quick.
Well, I'll just say the Virginia Tech game had big implications. Obviously, Virginia making it to the ACC championship game. We'll get to that.
Like I
predicted. Yeah, I'll say we'll get to our predictions once we do actually talk about the real games. What you said you wanted to talk
the
about?
Egg Bowl.
Let's talk about it.
Did you watch it?
Oh, did I watch it? Come on,
Piss blew it.
Not on. They didn't blow it. They pissed it away.
You're right. They were taking the piss.
I feel bad for one of our friends, Trevor. He bet Ole Miss money line.
Oh,
so
that's,
I mean,
tough, Trev.
You go from being like, all right, we're gonna go to overtime, we're gonna win this game, to what is this kid doing?
Yeah, I can only imagine. Trevor was probably yelling at the TV, threw his hat, probably packed a lip.
He was drinking some Jameson, trying to get a little better feeling.
Is Jameson his favorite drink? Because Guinness is mine.
Yeah, when it comes to watching college football and watching his teams not do well, he brings out the Jameson.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk
Guinness,
about...
You know Guinness is my favorite beer.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're going to talk about the championship games this weekend. Also, I went back into our old recordings and I pulled up our predictions. So I was 3 out of 5. John was 2 out of 4. He was on a cruise for the SEC championship game. SEC preview. So I gave him it doesn't count for that one because he really didn't have his fair shot to explain himself in any of those games. But he would have been wrong because he said Alabama was going to go undefeated.
But it doesn't count because I wasn't there.
Exactly. So you get a gimme.
So
we'll start...
2 of 4. What were you? You were 2 of 5?
3 of 5.
Oh, so you're slightly better percentage than I was.
So we'll start with one we both got right. We both had Ohio State, Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. I don't think we didn't do predictions. I didn't hear anything about that. But I think we're both going to predict the same team wins the Big Ten.
Yep, Wisconsin, right?
I think Iowa wins it. Crazily enough, and I'm playing in the game.
Just kidding. Ohio State's going to win this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite the same as the first time they met in the regular season. I think Ohio State's going to just run away with it.
Because the thing is, Wisconsin's just so one-dimensional. They're kind of like the Mike Leach syndrome, where they do the same thing every year. It's so easy to game plan for, because if you shut down Jonathan Taylor, sure, last week, Jack Cohn looked good throwing the ball against Minnesota. Bad conditions, Minnesota, you know, it was a cold game, adversity. That's not going to happen against Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think he can throw it all. I don't think he can, you know, tear up the Ohio State secondary.
No, Jeffrey, they have the best corner in the country. I don't think it's going to go so well for them. They also have Chase Young, so you really can't run at him. Like, it's just, it's all
tough. Yeah, like, they're like, Ohio State, Wisconsin is like a mismatch, like, nightmare for Wisconsin because they're just going to trust their guys on the outside on man matchups, most likely, and they're just going to load the box and make you beat them passing. And I don't think Wisconsin can do that.
I have a semi-related topic I want to get into real quick.
Okay.
You don't care. Big Ten game day or college game day?
I watch college game day every week.
Really?
College game day for me started when I was like when I first started getting into college football when I was like 8 with my dad. Like, I'd go downstairs and I'd watch with my dad. So, like, I have a relation, like, there's like a connection with me and game day, you know?
Oh, no, I feel that because I used to prefer college game day. But there's a but. Urban Meyer being on Big Ten noon kickoff has really, I'm starting to switch. Because I love hearing him talk about football. This guy, like, he breathes football. It's nuts.
I mean, Urban has done he's been very, very good as an analyst, even though he was after he left Florida. I don't remember that. I wasn't that old when he left to go be an analyst after Florida. But, I mean, now just watching him talk on TV, because he really doesn't really get into too much analytic stuff. He kind of just like breaks down football from an easier standpoint. And I can sit there and be like, oh, I'm a football guy because I listen to Urban Meyer talk.
Okay.
So the next one we also both got right. This is the last one that we both predicted right was the Pac-12. We both had Utah, Oregon. This is, I'll let you start. I think I know which way you're going to go with it. I'm still kind of up in the air. Who do you think wins this game? I think I have a fair idea what you're going to say.
So this screams an Oregon lame duck game. So I'm leaning towards an Oregon loss. Utah's a very complete team. Oregon doesn't play great away from Outson, as seen a few times this season. I think maybe Oregon will win. I wouldn't take them with the spread. I would say that for any of our gambling friends. Because I feel like for Justin Herbert's last game, a few other guys, you know, this Oregon team may be very motivated. Especially, they're going to try to show that, like, hey, like, even though we lost to Arizona State, we're not a bad team. They're going to make a statement. But I just don't see it. Justin Herbert, as much as I love him, he's probably my favorite player in college football. Favorite player. I'm going to buy his jersey and go to the NFL. He hurts the Oregon offense at times because he makes the right play every time. Most of the time.
He's not a chance
down.
Guy.
Yeah, he throws the check down. He'll throw the ball away. So he's not like a Johnny Manziel type college quarterback where he may not always make the right play, but he makes spectacular plays. He just makes consistently good plays, and I feel like that hurts Oregon at times.
Yeah, they
I'm really not complaining.
He's a smart
player.
Really
not complaining, but I feel like just in college that hurts you a little more than it does in the NFL.
Yeah, this game kind of like flips. Like, I'm kind of really torn with it because offensively they're about the same level. I feel. And the rankings are, I think, very close to each other. I think Utah gets the edge on defense. I think they have a top five defense in the country. That's the only thing I'm not really too sure on this game. I mean, I saw Oregon was, what are they? Oh, no, they're plus 6.5. I don't know.
Oregon's the
Oregon's
the favorite?
No. Oregon's plus 6.5.
I'm so betting on. Even though I just said I wouldn't do it, I'm so betting on Oregon. Money won.
This is like a game where I really don't know. Because this is, you don't know. I think Utah will win. I think Utah is motivated, more motivated than Oregon. Because they're really fighting for their chance to get in. This is their only chance to get in. If they have a very convincing win and someone slips up, I think they'll get themselves into the playoffs. But if they don't have a convincing win, let's say they win by 3, I don't know if that's going to be enough to have the committee say, it's a complete, real complete team, better than team X, Y, and Z. So they should be in.
Something to go back on real quick. Yeah. I think what I was trying to say, because I thought about it while you were talking, was if Oregon is motivated, if they come out motivated and like they look like they want to play in this game, they're going to win this game. But if Oregon plays how they played against Arizona State, like no fight, kind of like nonchalant, not caring, Utah's going to win by probably more than 6 points.
I don't think Oregon's going to come out and not care. I think, you know, yeah, Herbert, he's the hometown hero.
Things
playing his
would
last
surprise
game.
You.
He's playing, you know, playing in his last career game, you know, with his brother.
Yeah, he's probably not going to play in the bowl game. I mean, actually, I take that back. I think he will play in our bowl game, but it'd be stupid too. I don't think he should.
Yeah, I'm going to take Utah, I think.
All right, that's fine. We're kind of up in the air anyway.
Yeah, I'm not
my
sold.
Last quick point with that would be that if Utah wins this game, they should get into the college football playoff. And if they're not, I'm probably going to throw a tantrum. And it's going to be live on Twitter for everyone to see. Oklahoma, is it? Wait till we talk about them, because I have a little bit of a rant. I got a bone to pick with the Sooners.
All right, and it's perfect because they're going last. We'll talk about that game last.
Which one last? Let's go now.
All right, let's do it now. It's the Big 12. We had the same prediction. We predicted Texas, Oklahoma. I'm sure a lot of people did. I don't think a lot of people really predicted Baylor to be in the Big 12 championship game.
Most people probably shouldn't expect Texas to suck.
Well, that too. I didn't expect Texas to lose. What'd they lose? Four games? Five games?
A lot of games. More games than they should have.
Yeah. I thought Texas was going to be I said in the beginning of the year, I said Texas was going to be a two-loss team, and they did not play like that at all this year.
Well, they're a two-loss team.
Well, they have more than two losses.
Exactly. So they're a two-plus loss team.
So Oklahoma, Baylor. I think Baylor has something to prove after blowing, I think it was a 23-point lead at one point in the third quarter against Oklahoma in the regular season. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I think Oklahoma is going to win this game. I think Oklahoma has a better defense than people give them credit for.
Oh my God!
I mean, last year they were the worst defense I'd ever seen. They were Swiss cheese. Now, Alex Grinch in 1 year has at least made them a respectable defense. I think they're a top 30 defense in the country right now, and their offense has not fallen off either. Yeah. So it's a big game. Jalen Hurts, big game. I think they win this game, but I don't think they make the playoffs.
They're not doing it for me. Baylor by 7. I think Baylor comes out motivated. I was going to explain. That's not all I'm going to say. I got stuff to say. Baylor's going to come out. They really want this game. They blew that one last time they played. I think you said 23-point lead. I think that was right. And Baylor dominated that game to start. The first three quarters was all Baylor. And I don't know what happened, but I feel like you learn from games like that. They have an NFL quarterback in Charlie Brewer. They have some guys on defense. Matt Rhule probably should win Coach of the Year because what he did with that team coming from the sanctions they had and everything, it reminds me a little bit of James Franklin, although Baylor's probably not on the same scale as Penn State was at the time. But Matt Rhule is bringing them back.
Yeah, and I like what you just said about Matt Rhule. I mean, I said it in the beginning of the year. The fact that he's still there, they should be counting their blessings because what he did for that program coming off of sanctions and like because you brought up James Franklin, and not take anything away from Franklin, he kind of had Bill O'Brien to at least get him through those years before he showed up. Bill O'Brien kind of kept that program afloat for those couple years, but you know Rhule had showed up to literally 80 something guys who had some kind of sexual assault charges. I mean, he showed up into a bad situation, and I mean, he hasn't been there for 10 years. You know what I mean? He's been there only a couple years, and they're playing for the Big 12 championship game, 11 wins.
They're lucky Rhule is still there because he's gotten a lot of people think he's going to the NFL though, which I don't know if you see that. People talk about Rhule bouncing for the league a lot. I don't know if I see it happening. Baylor to the NFL is kind of a big jump. But it is becoming more of a trend for college coaches. Well, I guess it's always been a trend, but lately there's some success with it. I don't know if I could see him go into the league, but it is kind of it's kind of like a thing now, you know, like it's becoming more and more of a trend. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, you saw that was, he went from Stanford to the NFL. Pete Carroll went from USC to the NFL.
Kingsbury went from.
Yeah, Kingsbury now.
Tech
and he's the most recent
USC.
One. So, what do you say?
Technically USC to the NFL.
Yeah. But so there's three right there that, like, it's becoming more of a trend. And especially now that coaches, so I can maybe see it happening. I don't know if it's a great idea, though, because I don't know if Rhule can coach in the NFL. Plus, Urban Meyer might do it. I don't think he should, but he said he couldn't turn down the Cowboys job. We're carrying it to NFL Talk Daily.
Yeah. But no, the one thing I will say about what you said, like with Rhule, those other coaches you mentioned were at a different caliber school than Baylor. I mean, when you think about college football, you think about USC. So, you know,
Some people do.
I mean, most people do, because you think USC, you know, college football history, they're one of those historic schools. So, you know, you're under the lights at all times in LA. Going to the NFL really isn't that crazy under the press, like press wise. I think Baylor to the NFL would be pretty extreme.
I agree with that.
All right, so let's talk about one. This is another conference where this is the one conference I got it right, you got it half right. The ACC. So I had Clemson, Virginia. John, why don't you tell people what you had?
I believe I had Syracuse Clemson or Virginia Syracuse.
And yeah, what was Syracuse's record?
I have no idea. They're not in it though. But I do
You
want to say,
no,
I
what
do
did
want to
you predict
say,
their what
I
did you
do want to
predict
say,
Syracuse's record?
I undefeated, undefeated. But I do want to say, in my defense, you can go back and listen to the episode. I said I'm just saying this so we all don't say Clemson undefeated. I took a different stance. I even said I didn't necessarily believe it was going to happen. It didn't happen. Actually, came nowhere close to happening. But my reasoning was basically for the good of the podcast.
Well, I'll say, no, I will say you're kind of right by saying that, because I remember what you said. You said that you were taking someone else other than Clemson and not be chalk, which is what you said. But you guaranteed a Clemson loss to Syracuse.
Probably. It didn't happen, but it could have happened. And because it could have happened, I'm still right. Because if it would have happened, I would have been right, and it could have happened.
But it didn't.
But it could have. They played, right?
They did play.
So it could have happened. Therefore, I was half right because the game happened.
I mean, anyone could have been half right. The game happened. The schedules come out, and
That's not true. If you didn't make a prediction, then they wouldn't know.
okay.
But like my prediction, I was only, hold on, give me a second. I'm going to give myself some credit here. I was only, where's the game happened? Okay. I was 35 points off. Not bad.
That's not bad if the ever touchdown counted for 10 points for Syracuse.
That's not bad.
So but back to the actual game that is going to happen. Clemson UVA, I think the logical pick here. I think Clemson is gonna keep rolling. I think they'll win this game pretty big. I think they're like 28 point favorites or something crazy like that.
They are.
Yeah, 28 and a half. I just looked.
I'm rolling with the Cavaliers.
Really?
No, I wish. I wish. I wish I could say something stupid like that again, but I already used that mulligan on Syracuse, so I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, so
Trevor,
since we're
when...
both,
Oh.
no, I'll let you go. I was gonna move on, but you have something to say about Clemson. That's fine.
I was gonna say that Trevor Lawrence started the season not great. I feel like he was just trying to live up to the hype early on, where he was just like kind of doing like the Kobe when you shoot in the trash can, taking like deep shots on every play. And I feel like now he's kind of like back into the like, all right, let's get serious, like make the right plays, just get out of here with a win. And I feel like that's made Clemson a much more complete team in the last few weeks.
Yeah, 'cause I mean, he had what, like 6 picks by week four. So I mean, he finished the year almost 2,900 yards, 30 touchdowns, 8 picks. Yeah, 8 picks. So, I mean, he ended the year hot. I think Clemson is kind of hitting their groove. While we're talking about Clemson, you want to talk about the Dabo interview from the other day after the South
How
Carolina
he's
game?
so annoying about how he wins.
I guess you could
He's.
say that. I understand what you're saying.
I want to say that he has the Saban, Bill Belichick ability to somehow always make his team the underdog when they're somehow like a 28-point favorite.
All right, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Like they'll
That
find
he
one
makes you feel
quote.
bad for Clemson.
Yeah, he'll find one quote by a guy with like 400 followers, and like that's up on the chalkboard, and he's like, oh, Jim Pickens from Illinois says that we play a soft schedule, and they're like, we don't play a soft schedule.
But I get what he was saying though about Georgia. I really do. And I kind of agree with him. I mean, really, you think about it. When Georgia lost to South Carolina, it was, what is Georgia's road to getting into the playoffs still? And Clemson beats South Carolina, and the narrative turns to what needs to happen to keep Clemson out of the playoffs. I get what he's saying.
Because Clemson, everyone says, oh, they have the most bowl-eligible teams. They have a mediocre conference. It's like the Pac-12. It's a circle of suck.
Besides, I think the ACC is more mediocre than anybody. The ACC is full of
mediocre teams. They beat up on each other. It's competitive because they're all bad.
Yeah.
Besides Clemson, the rest of the conference is bad. They lose games to each other. It's like irrelevant outside of Clemson almost. And for that, I feel like Clemson, even though they're undefeated, it's almost like you still haven't done a lot to impress me, especially with that UNC blunder. That game should have been a loss if Mac Brown didn't go nuts with that option play on the end of the game. I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, I know what he was thinking. You're thinking, all right, let's just get out of here with a win now. Either win or lose the game at this point. We've got it this close. But that shovel option was so bad.
Yeah, I didn't mind the call. I didn't mind the idea. I hated the play call.
I honestly would have rather the QB power.
But, I mean, if you look at the games after that, they haven't played in anything remotely close to a close game.
No, because that was the rare game where Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne played bad in the same game. Doesn't happen often.
Yeah, I think they've, like, after that game, like you said it a few weeks ago, everyone needs a game to kind of get kicked in the butt a little bit and get moving. Mm-hmm. And typically it's a loss. Like you said, Georgia's loss to South Carolina got them moving a little bit. I think that was their game that got them moving.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I think ETN had a fumble on the goal line that UNC scored off, like in their own territory, like real deep. So like, I feel like that game was just a lot of blunders for Clemson. Like maybe they just didn't get up for it. Like maybe, you know, like maybe they had some things going on, not focused. And then after that, they refocused because they were like, listen, we're not the team last year where we're full of NFL talent at every, like, first round talent at almost every position. Because they still are NFL talent all over the team. But last year they had Dexter Lawrence, who was the other tackle they had? The other
Year that defensive line was probably one of the better defensive lines in college football history. I mean, they had a bunch of guys who were NFL clear NFL talents.
You know, guys who were jump around. If those guys would have played at 75% last year, they probably still would have been the best D1 in the country.
Yeah, I agree.
So what I'm saying is like, maybe that game, they thought they were still that team. You know, like.
Yeah, because they hadn't really been pushed up until then.
Yeah, and then Mac Brown was like, listen, like, I've been in games like this before. Like, we're not just going to roll over. And that was an impressive performance. I want to do a quick shout out here, not to get too sidetracked. Sam Howell at UNC, great quarterback.
Yeah, I like Sam Howell.
He broke a ton of records as a freshman. I think he's going to be great. So I just wanted to get that out there so it's on the air.
All right, so the last game we have to speak of, which I believe is the last game, I just want to double check. Yep, it's the SEC Championship game. Both of us had this wrong. You were on a cruise, so really, I only had it wrong. I had Alabama-Georgia, which I predict most people probably had Alabama-Georgia.
Uh-huh.
It is, in fact, not Alabama-Georgia. It's LSU-Georgia. This game is not only a SEC Championship game. This is essentially a first round playoff game for both these teams.
Uh-huh.
So I think LSU wins this game. I don't think it's going to be pretty, though. Not by any means. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game for them that's kind of like Alabama, where they clearly beat Alabama like on the scoreboard, but you know, they let Alabama hang around for a while. They probably should have beat Alabama by more than 5 just by the way that game played and the way they looked, but their defense couldn't stop anybody.
Not so fast, my friend.
And let me say this real quick before you do. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia wins this game, though.
Oh, no. That's going to age poorly. LSU wins this game with double digits.
I don't
think this game is going to be close.
My gut says LSU. It's just the defense. The defense really stops me from being so certain.
But they have a good run defense, though. They just their pass defense isn't great. Because Grant Delpit, if he would have left last year, he would have been a top five pick. This year, he's completely forgotten how to play coverage. He just doesn't know how to do it anymore. It's nuts. Like, it baffles me. Like, nothing about the defense really changed. And he just somehow, like, he abandons assignments on defense. It's crazy.
Yeah, and this is a, I guess we could talk about this real quick while we're talking about LSU-Georgia. Mm-hmm. Do you see in any event, if Georgia wins this game, that both teams don't make the playoffs? Or do you think Georgia wins this game, both teams get in?
It's tough. Depends. I think LSU is safe regardless. I want to get that out of the way. They don't have a loss yet.
So I think they have a lot. They have a lot of quality wins. That helps them.
Yeah,
too.
And if they lose a close game to Georgia, they probably get in. They probably still get in. Georgia, if they lose, no chance. I don't think there's any chance.
Yeah, no, and that would give them two losses. I think that's why they're at the four spot.
Yeah, I think they're out if they lose. It also depends on what the other teams do. Utah gets blown out by Oregon, and Oklahoma gets blown out by Baylor. Could you really put them in? Could you put either of those teams in? Like, you have a two-loss Oregon, a two-loss Utah, two-loss LSU, two-loss Georgia.
Well, Baylor would only have one loss.
Yeah, you'd have a one-loss Baylor, so they probably get in. And then you have, you know, it's like, who do you put in as the other team then?
I mean,
you
that would
Ohio State.
For Baylor, that would be a huge jump from 7 to at least 4.
Yeah, but who do you put in then? Almost everyone besides Ohio State would have at least one or two losses.
Yes, all right. Let's do our predictions right now off of how we predict the championship games to go. So we both said Ohio State's going to win. Yes. They'll be undefeated. They'll walk in, no questions asked. We both thought LSU was going to win. They will also be undefeated. If that's the case, they get in, no questions asked.
Yes, sir.
So Clemson wins. Also, they are that third seed. The fourth seed is where it gets a little crazy, because then you have Georgia with two losses. They're done. Let's say Utah loses. Oregon not getting in because they have the two losses, and then Utah wouldn't get in because they also would have two losses at that point.
Yeah.
Now, the winner of the Big 12 championship game would have one loss, but the committee has kind of shown this year that they are not in love with the Big 12.
I don't think anyone does. The Big 12, kind of like the ACC.
They beat each other.
Top heavy, yeah. Top heavy, because Oklahoma is probably the best team in the ACC, obviously.
The Big 12.
I mean, the Big 12, not the ACC. They might be the best team in the ACC too, though. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna look at the Big 12 real quick. I mean, outside of the two big guys, you know, Baylor and Oklahoma, the next best team is Oklahoma State at 8-4.
Yeah.
And then you got a lot of teams just beating each other. I mean, even West Virginia lost a lot of guys from last year, and they still have 5 wins.
All right, so we got 2 questions.
All right, let's run them back. You got them in front of you?
Yeah, what are your early college football playoffs for next year?
Ooh, for next year. Do you have yours done?
I don't. I was going to do it on the fly with you.
All right. You go first, because I haven't even thought about this question. And I think you may have had a little more thought than I have.
I haven't thought about it at all.
I can edit this part out. Right. We're thinking
Alabama. Okay. Bowl prediction. I think he's going out.
Yeah, just start over.
Okay. All right. So here's gonna be my 4 bowl prediction. I'm gonna start with Tua Tagovailoa returns for his senior season in Alabama.
That's
gonna be
very bold prediction. That's a very bold prediction.
Well, he said if he doesn't get a first round grade within 10 or to pick 25, I think. He said today at the media conference it won't be a hard decision. He said he's only going if he gets a feedback that he'll still go in that spot. Because Alabama, similar to Justin Herbert, I just want to make this point too. Did you know that his junior and senior season, Oregon took out like a, I think it was a $10 million insurance policy on him to where if he got hurt? like both years.
I think South Carolina did that too with Lattimore.
Yeah, which is good though, because junior and senior season is kind of crazy. Like, but I mean, yeah. I guess last year he was projected number one overall pick, and now he's still a first round pick. But not to lay everything back to that, but I think if Tua stays, they're still going to be right at the top of that thing, like the food chain. If Joe Brady leaves LSU for Texas, which is rumored, I mean, I'm a candidate for that job, as are you.
Yeah, I am.
So me, you, Joe Brady, competing for the same job, you know, because we all applied online at a longhorn.com, I think it was.
I'm also in the run for the defensive coordinator job, too, on both sides.
And I've also applied to be the head coach at UNLV. So I'm waiting for them to call me. Let's put the Lobos. That's Rebels? New Mexico. Yeah, the Rebels. Back on the map, baby.
Not a great start to your candidacy.
No, right? It's just like the state of Rutgers.
So you have two.
Yeah, I have Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. And my fourth team, you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
You're not ready for this, Matt.
Let's hear it.
You're not ready for this.
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
The Buckeyes of Ohio again. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at mine right now. I'm just thinking out loud a little bit, just like when you were talking.
No way.
I think Ohio State gets back. Fields coming back. I think They'll recruit fine. They have guys who are sitting behind NFL talent right now who are going to step right in and be fine. They've done it in the past. I don't see why they can't do it now.
Mm-hmm.
I think LSU is going to lose a lot offensively with Joe Burrow leaving. So I think that kind of opens the SEC up.
They have Miles Brennan coming in, though. Miles Brennan's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I do know that. But I think if Tua does come back, like you said, he could. That would obviously put Alabama, I think, back to being the favorite there. Clemson, I don't think the ACC is going to get any better in a year. I don't think anyone's going to push them. So they should walk right in. The only thing that makes me think differently about Clemson is I think the ACC is not going to get significantly better next year. But depending on what happens in Florida State, I think the ACC could get a little bit better to the point that Clemson might slip up. Louisville is taking a huge step this year, 1 year under Satterfield. Depending what happens at Florida State, like I mentioned, you know, that could be a kind of a tough conference where you're not playing, you know, a very untalented team. So, and then my last one, you're actually not ready for this one because this is a crazy prediction. You ready?
Yeah.
I don't think you are ready. I'll give you a moment. Are you sitting down?
I know it's going to be, so just say it.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Just say who it's going to be, and I'll tell you.
No, you say it. I'm going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Just say it, and I'll tell you.
No, I'm not saying it. You have to say it now.
We're going to sit here, then.
I'm not going to say it. We'll say it at the same time. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Penn State.
Rutgers. Oh.
I don't know. I would actually, like, never put in serious conversation. But I think Penn State... was a little young this year, and Clifford's not too young. He's a sophomore, so he has a year under him. I was sitting behind McSorley playing. So now this year, he has looked very bad at times. This year, I will say that in big games, he hasn't looked great. Journey Brown comes back. He's a leading rusher for them.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Hamler is going to come back. He's one of the better receivers in the country.
Is
so
he
I think
back?
He's only a sophomore. He might be a redshirt sophomore. I don't know if he is. Sure, we look at that real quick.
He's probably staying, though. That's fine.
I mean, he has. He is one of those guys that makes your offense.
He's a true sophomore. Can't leave.
Yeah, that's right. I thought he was a true sophomore. So he's coming back. I think they played better than I expected this year against Ohio State. So I think if they run the table next year, minus the Ohio State game, even them not playing in the Big Ten championship game, depending on how they play that Ohio State game, I think they could find their way into a four spot like Georgia is right now, even though Georgia's playing for the title for the SEC. All right. So that wraps it up. We did conferences. We talked a little preview prediction for our playoff rankings, if different scenarios. Before we end the episode, we have a pretty fun interview we did. Oregon commit from the great state of Utah. He's a Ute, but he ain't going to Utah. He's going to play for the Ducks. Jackson Light, also known as Jackson Power Light. Pretty dope nickname, if you ask me. I forgot about that. It's his middle name. It's like a built-in cool nickname. But that was a pretty fun interview. So we'll catch you guys on the flip side of that and round out the episode. All right, guys, we are here with Oregon commit Jackson Light. Jackson, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the first question I have is probably one you get pretty frequently. I see your Twitter name is Jackson Powers Light, and I think that's a front runner for best name coming out of this class. Is that what everyone calls you, or?
Everybody calls me Jay Light. That's just a nickname that was given to me freshman year, but a lot of people love my middle name and my last name, so. But mostly just Jay Light, so.
Oh, so that Powers is your middle name. It's not a nickname?
No, it's just, it is my middle name. It's my that's mom's awesome. Main name.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, me too. So Jackson, I'm actually a huge Oregon fan. I was just wondering, are there any commits like in the 2020 class or your class that you're like real close with?
I talked to Seven McGee a little bit. He likes my stuff. I talk with him a little bit. I talk with Keith Brown a little bit. He's not committed anywhere yet, but I talk with him a little bit. And then, just a little bit of people here and there, like and follow, just send a quick message. And I always retweet their stuff just to show love for the Oregon Duck family.
Yeah, we actually, Keith Brown was actually a guest of ours a little earlier, like a few weeks ago. And he was real cool.
Yeah, he's a great dude. I've been up with him during the Cal game. I went with the Cal game and he was there too. And we just chilled out. He's a really nice dude. He's a great athlete as well.
Yeah, I think he's from Oregon, too, I believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's from Oregon. It's pretty cool. He goes up a ton just because he lives, like, I think he told me, like, 30 minutes away. But he's just – he's a great guy. He's a funny dude. He's got a lot better style than I do. And he's got it going on. Everybody peeps his style.
A funny story about him quick is when I added him on Skype, his Skype picture was him with no shirt on and a cowboy hat.
That's like, awesome.
What is this?
Dude, he's a character, let me tell you. He's awesome though. He's a funny dude. He's a funny dude. Great athlete. Like I wouldn't be surprised. He's a funny dude, so.
So I see that when you committed, it was fairly early in your junior year, October, which is pretty early. So when you what about Oregon specifically really drew you in into committing, you know, relatively early into your junior year?
A big thing was just how family oriented they are and just their culture in general. I love how everything is ran there when it comes to meetings, to just everything like that, the attention to detail. It's just a great place. And I just talked with my family and I knew it was home for me. And when you know, you know.
No, that's definitely, I agree with that. That's pretty cool. I did want to talk about you just won a state championship recently, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, we did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk about how your junior season went a little bit?
It was a great year for us. So we went up a classification after winning the 5A state championship. We went up a classification to the 6A championship, and we went undefeated 14-0. And we won, and it was just a great experience, great year. I learned a lot, improved just as a football player in general and as a person, and I'll have long-lasting friendships with all the seniors, and it was just a great year.
Yeah, definitely. Have you played against Noah Sewell? I know he's from Utah too, I think, right?
Yeah, we played he's from Orem. We played them. He didn't play that game, but we beat his team.
Oh, so confirmed, Jackson Light better than Noah Sewell.
He is faster than me for sure. Like he's an athlete. I have so much respect for him, and I am so excited to be his teammate. That's a big thing too. Like he posted it online, and you saw the little clip of him committing on TV after he won his state championship. And man, everybody was just blown up, and I'm just excited I get to be his teammate.
So I'm looking at a few of your offers, and you know, you being like a West kind of guy, I see those all the way. Was that a big thing for you, with staying in that Western area? You're not coming East. I mean, we're from East, and you know, Nebraska's pretty far from Utah. Like, was that a thing for you, with staying relatively close to home?
It wasn't a big thing for me. I really didn't care about that. I went and I saw Missouri and kind of different places more out East. And, you know, it's different. The big thing with me, I love mountains. And there isn't kind of the mountains they have East compared to what we have out here West. And it wasn't a big factor for me, but in my head, kind of going into the process, I was kind of thinking like I was going to stay more West, just because that's where I just love out here. So
yeah, that's pretty funny, because we're from New Jersey actually, so we have no mountains. Like, I can't even think of.
Yeah, our classifications of mountains are like little hills compared to what you guys have out west.
I had another question about something I saw on your Twitter. I forgot what it was though, so just give me a second.
Oh no, you're totally fine.
Oh, so you play both ways in high school, right?
Yes. I start both ways for my team.
I would assume so. You're probably one of the better players on your team.
On offense, like, yeah, I would say so. I'm surrounded by a bunch of, like, great people. Like, right across from me, I practice against every day Van Fillinger. He's committed to Texas. Mm-hmm. He's an athlete. He's an animal. And he makes me better every single day. Like, I'm blessed to have him. He's pretty much made me the player I am today, just because we've been going against each other forever, and we've just iron sharpens iron, and it's been great. But to answer your question, I am not the fastest. I would say I'm a team captain. I'm not going to put myself above anybody, because everybody has to play their own position and work as a team. But I think of myself as a pretty good athlete and a good offensive lineman.
And that was actually like a really great answer, to be honest. I was going to ask, what position are you going to – do you think you're going to play offense or defense at the next level, or are you really not sure yet?
I'm going to play offense. I'm a center. It's my second year playing, and I feel like I'm a lot better on the offensive side of the ball than defensive. I first came into high school wanting to be a D lineman, and then my coach is like, no, you're not. You're going to offense. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's been a blessing in disguise, and I feel like I'm better there, and that's where people have been recruiting me. So I'm going to be playing offense in college for sure.
Matt, did you have something
to say? Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. I was going to look and see what your schedule was for your freshman year, because I'm sure Oregon typically schedules pretty good out of conferences. I got it right here. Let me look. Yeah, like, I mean, your freshman year, week two, I believe it's your freshman year, you're at Ohio State. Is that something you've looked at and you're looking forward to? You know, it's one of the bigger venues, not in just college sports, but just sports in general in the worldwide scheme.
Totally. Like, I love a challenge. Challenge is great. You get to go to those places, have great experiences, play great teams, and just really challenge yourself and see where you are. And I love that. Even like here, like we in Utah, we schedule the best people to play in our classification every year, just because we want the challenge, we want to get better. And I think that's a great thing they do at Oregon. They schedule really great out of conference games to really just test them, make them better, and just show that, you know, they're a great team and they're ready to play. So yeah, that was a big thing. I looked at their schedule, and that's great, because I don't just playing easy teams and beating them isn't as fun as grinding out those hard games and just really just winning in general, those type of games.
Yeah, because in the hard games, you feel like you like really earned something, and
yeah,
you get like, you, it feels like your hard work kind of paid off.
Yeah, that's just it. It's just better in general, I feel like.
Yeah. So my last question here was Cristobal, being a big offensive line guy,
Have you talked about like a line stuff with him before? Like,
oh yeah, for sure. when we're out there, like I go into the position meeting and Coach Mirabal will be normally leading the meeting, like going over plays and stuff, and then Coach Chris Ball will be in the back and he'll just be kind of just sitting there. And he's for sure talked offensive line with me a ton. That was a big thing with him, is like how important trench play is for him and their whole team in general. And it's actually really awesome to know that, like, I'm going into a program where not just the team, but the culture around really supports the offensive line play. Is just, it's wonderful and it's a great thing. But he talks about it all the time. Like, it's his baby and it's his first love. And that's why he played in college. And it's the thing he really embraces. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So my last little thing here was just because I know you're a team captain. You said you don't want to put you don't want to put yourself above others. So if there's one teammate who's not getting enough attention on your team, who would it be?
Oh, that's a hard question, because we have a lot of great players on our team. We have a great receiver. He's going to be really great. But I would actually have to say our running back, because I'm telling you, my running back makes me look 1,000% better most of the time. Like, he is insane. He's fast. He's strong. His name's Austin Bell. He's a class of 2021, just like me. And he has one off right now to Utah State, but I think he's getting slept on a lot more than just other people. He's a hell of a kid, a hell of an athlete, and I'm really truly humbled and really grateful that I get to play with him. He's a hell of a person.
Cool. Awesome. We'll be sure to add him when we drop the podcast, maybe get him some attention.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, so my last question, it's a question that's just directly right at you. At what point in your football career did you realize that this was something that you could take to the next level? Like, it was at this point, like, I can play at the highest level there is in college.
I would have to say it was the first time I ever got – so first freshman game, I get in, and I was super scared. Like, I was, like, I had all these, like nerves and – and it was Friday night, and I got in, and I went, and it was just easier for me. And that's when, like, it wasn't the first, like, I knew I could do this, but it's a really big goal for me. Like I can do this. Like, I can really, if I work hard and I do all this, I can go to the next level. It's always been a really big goal for me, and just pretty much then it was a big thing where I was like, you know, I can do this. I can do this at a high level. And then another big one was I went to the All-American Bowl Combine, and I was pretty undersized. This was like last January. And
so you were a sophomore?
Yeah, I was a sophomore. And I hadn't had any offers yet. I wanted to go to this and see if I could get my name out there. And I went there, and my parents pulled me aside, like, you know, this is a big camp. Like, you really got to – really got to go. And I was just confident in myself. And we got into the competition of things, and I didn't lose. And, like, everybody was kind of, like, weirded out because I was probably 240 maybe, and I was a little bit smaller. And then I got to the end, and they put me to the best of the best at the end, and I won a couple reps there. And that was a big thing of, like, I can hang with these people, big people in the nation.
And I there's seniors there too, right?
Yeah, there's juniors there. And a lot of them have a lot of offers and are some of the best talent in the nation. And that was a big thing for me, is like I won reps, one rep after rep after rep. And I was just like, you know, I can do this. And it brought a lot of confidence for me, and it kind of fueled me to like want it a lot more. Just in general, because it was a reassurance of my hard work was paying off, and I can take my talents to a university. So it was just, that was probably one of the pivotal moments where I knew I could.
All right, Jackson, I think that wraps it up for us. John, you got anything else?
No, that was great though.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on, Jackson. Best of luck next year. I know John will be following up with your stats, being the Oregon guy he is. Yeah. We're definitely looking forward to you getting on campus. I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Heck yeah, baby. Go Ducks.
Yep. Thank you, G.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Got the episode. All right, guys. That was Jackson Powers Light, Oregon Duck commit. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Next time we talk to you guys, it will be after championship weekend. We will know the playoff rankings. We will know who the matchups are. We'll know who got left out. Let us know what you guys think the rankings are going to be. Who you think is going to be sitting at home watching, thinking, how did we not get in? And until then, guys, thank you for everything you guys do, and we'll catch you next time.